So as part of our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, we have been exploring the last few weeks what we believe when we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." I hope what we are realizing is that when we say these few words, we're saying so much more than these few words. And so we're learning more about what we believe and why it's important to have this deeper understanding of what we believe. So we've thought about how God is like a parent to us, caring for us and providing for us, and desiring to be in an intimate relationship with us, just like a parent would have with a child. We've talked about how God is almighty, acknowledging that God rules over all things and that God is so big and so vast that God is truly limitless and unmeasurable. Last week, we explored a little bit of what it means that God made heaven and earth, and somebody asked me, is there a difference between saying creator of heaven and earth or maker of heaven and earth? There's really no difference. They're interchangeable. It's sort of whatever you prefer, and I find that whatever one comes off my tongue, that's the one that I use. But we talked a little bit more about God being the creator of heaven and earth and how we hold that and that truth together with our understanding of science. And we looked at how science and our faith aren't opposed to one another, but that science is a gift from God that helps us understand God more fully and the creation more fully as well. So today we're going to finish up the first article of the Creed in our sermon series, and we're going to look at what our buddy Martin Luther says about this first article of the Creed in the Small Catechism. Many of you had to memorize the Small Catechism when you were in confirmation, and I am just not a good memorizer, so I have to dig out my trusty Small Catechism. So the first article of the Creed, there are three, one for each person of the Trinity. The first article says this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has created me and all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul with all their powers. God provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. God also protects me in time of danger and guards me from every evil. All of this God does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, though I do not deserve it. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve and obey God. This is most certainly true. So what does all of this mean? It means that we believe that God has created everything that exists. And even if we don't know exactly when or exactly how God created everything, we believe that God is our creator. So God created the heavens and the earth and all that is within them, including humanity. But in the midst of creating everything and calling it good, God did see that it was not good for a human to be alone. And so God created a helper and a partner. God created companionship. And in doing so, God gives all of humanity the gift of family, both biological and adopted. God gives us the gift of friendship. And in our baptism, through Christ by the Holy Spirit, we are adopted into the family of God. See what love that God has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God And so we are. And in becoming children of God, God doesn't just adopt us, and we don't just become children of God, but we become sibling to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we become forever a member of the communion of saints. We also believe that God provides for God's children with the nourishment that they need daily. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray that God would give us every day our daily bread, and God does, and God always has. All the way back in Genesis 1, God said to Adam and Eve, "I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." Think back to the 40 years that the Israelites wandered through the desert. God fed them daily with manna in the morning and quail at night. And God provided for them water in the rock in Exodus 17. God provided nourishment for God's people in the Gospels through Jesus Christ, who shared many, many meals with people throughout his ministry, including his Last Supper. As Jesus sat and ate with many, he shared table fellowship with them, offering them love and grace and dignity. God continues to provide for us daily food. God provides for us table fellowship with one another. And every Sunday when we come to Jesus' table, we receive Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion, and we are strengthened so that we can be sent out to be bread for the world. God provides for us in the things that we have and the things that we need. Throughout his ministry, Jesus witnessed to his disciples of God's providence. He told his followers to have faith that God would meet their needs for food and clothing. He said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Indeed, God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the ground. Therefore, you should not worry about these things, for God will meet your needs, and God does meet our needs." God also provides for us by giving us daily work to do, and by giving us the gifts and the passions and the ability to do that work. I'm talking about two kinds of work here. One, the kind of work that we do to earn a wage, to earn a living, but all of the other kind of work we do as well that we don't receive wage for. God does use work to help meet our needs for food and shelter and even companionship. But God also uses our work to help us care for others and to help us care for all of creation. So God doesn't only provide for humanity through our work, God provides care for creation through us. And going back to the readings from Genesis and from Psalm 8, I want you to notice that in the Genesis creation stories, creation wasn't complete until God made the provision of humankind to care for creation. Before creation was complete, God made the provision that humankind would care for creation in the ways that God does and the ways that God would. You see, whatever our daily work consists of, we are ultimately called to care for, to have dominion over creation, and to subdue creation. We all bear the image of God, and because we bear that image, God has given each of us a significant calling and responsibility to have dominion over creation, to subdue it, to care for it. But yet again, this is where language sort of gets us into a little bit of trouble and confusion, because the English word that we translate to have dominion, which means to dominate and control with power, the very same word in Hebrew means to serve and to guard. Words and translations matter, and that translation is much different than dominating or having control over. God wants us to care for creation in such a way that we serve it and that we guard it. This is what God has called us to do, and this is God's intention for humankind and for the whole world: to care for, to serve, to guard, and to protect creation. Brothers and sisters, in love and mercy, God created everything that exists and sustains everything that exists. Martin Luther reminds us that God has given us our bodies, our families, including the family of God. God gives us food and clothing, shelter and work. God meets our needs from day to day. And God uses us to meet the needs of others and to meet the needs of creation by caring for it, serving it, and protecting it. So when we say we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, we are saying a lot more than just those 11 words. And I hope that by these past few Sundays, thinking more deeply about this first article of the Creed has helped to stretch you, your mind and your heart, in ways that have helped you to understand that God is far bigger than we could ever imagine. I hope this has helped to stretch your heart and mind in ways that help you love God and love others more deeply. We're going to take a little bit of a break from this sermon series next Sunday as we have our Camp Sunday. But following that, in 2 weeks, we're going to pick back up with the second article of the Creed, the second person of the Trinity, so that we can think more deeply about what it means when we say we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. May we continue to love God with all of who we are and all that we have, including our hearts and minds. Amen.